We are continuing the study of the burnt offerings. And as I told you last time we met, that what's really scary to me, and hopefully to you also, is that your definition of blasphemy is becoming very, very, very precise. And this has to do with the offerings of acceptance. The burnt offering, the peace offering, the meal offering.
How is that?
Jesus Christ, I mean, Paul said that we are always... Well, let's read it. 2 Corinthians. I'll just go there. Stay.
What is this?
2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Well, and stop there. That is always. And the reason we are always a sweet savor is because of the completed work of Christ. Now, we have seen the waters of purification. We've seen the blood on the doorpost to get us out of Egypt. We've seen the meaning of the plagues. We've seen, again, the waters of purification. We've seen the trespass offering. We've seen the sin offering, all necessary to get us to the point of the God's table. Now, God now defines and says with specificity that you are from now on always, in every place, in every circumstances, a sweet savor. Now that is either true or it's not true. Let me give you a definition of blasphemy. Blasphemy, excuse me, blasphemy is one of those things you don't want to do. It's not smart to blaspheme. From now on, you blaspheme whenever you don't think the same thing that God thinks.
Let me think about that.
You hear me?
God's questioning that right now. I think we're in agreement.
From now on, you blaspheme whenever you don't think, i.e. confess. Now we're far gone. If there's something you think that isn't spoken, then you're in deep shit anyway. But from now on, you will blaspheme God whenever you don't think the same as God thinks. Now, that is an extremely arrogant thing to say. That means that you must see through every possible stimulus that is confronting you, every pain, every suffering, every angst, even the joy, because they only hide greater joys. To see that you are always a sweet savor unto God because of the completed work of Christ. There can never be a time in your life from this moment forward when you can believe with any power anything but that you are always a sweet savor unto God. No matter what the circumstances. no matter what you're threatened with. Do you all clearly understand this?
Yeah.
Rex?
Yep.
Here comes the amen close.
You really understand it? Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? There is nothing more radical that you have ever heard than what was just stated to you. Nothing in the universe could be more radical than that statement in terms of how it affects your day-to-day living. I mean, just think of the possibilities. There can never be a condition extant in time and space, in your arena, in your world, in which you will not be a sweet savor of Christ unto God. Your mind is always, you will be tested in this like you've never dreamed of being tested. Can everybody here say amen?
Amen.
Now, the reason you're a sweet savor, you always have been, but you didn't know it. Again, the only battlefield is the mind. We're being transfigured by the renewal of our mind. JW, we have been translated or transfigured, is what that says, into the kingdom of his dear son. Now, the reason that it's now powerful in your minds, that this is where the warfare can begin, this is a different form of the battle, is because now you have all agreed that in your minds you've seen all those different processes that have gotten you up to the altar of God. Now in your minds, at least for an instant, you have confessed with your mouth the same as God has always seen, i.e., that you are standing before him in a state of perfection, of forgiveness, of holiness, of innocence, ready to partake of the food of God with him. Now, can you see now? I mean, God will do anything. He will stop the course of nature to protect that revelation. He will cause earthquakes. He will make the sun stop. He will destroy the IRS. There is nothing in the universe that can come against that revelation from his mind. Don't you see, from now on, you have to see that it's only your mind that can define an againstness.
Yeah.
Now you are empowered never again to have to pay attention to the mind. Now this is all true because of a single act of God, the resurrection of Christ in you. We were talking about sorcery at Luby's this afternoon. We were eating. And it doesn't communicate to the world when you talk about sorcery. I mean, maybe it does. But it's like the world and your mind have known nothing but sorcery. You see how sorcery and blasphemy are so intimately tied together? In order to blaspheme, you must use sorcery. Otherwise, you would die. If this gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds and their hearts, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine on them. Now, your only problem will arise, is the only place it will arise from now on, is when those areas, when those few areas left in your mind will enter into an alliance with the God of this world, with Satan himself. That's the only place that you can ever again be deceived, is if your mind enters into an alliance with Satan himself.
How would that happen?
You would agree that something in the world is important. I mean, this is, in Doug's statements, this has staggering implications.
Yeah, it certainly does.
And if you get in an alliance with one issue, they will all come back. They'll flood back like a
flood.
I've seen it happen.
Now,
yeah, just like that old joke, there's no such thing as being a little bit blasphemous.
Now, this will come at your weakest point, I guarantee you. But in truth, your weakest point, the things that you think are your weak points, are your, from a spiritual standpoint, are the points where you're strong.
Yeah.
I.e., time to pick on people. Rex is paranoid about whether or not the Social Security Administration is going to give the number out so that those bills will be paid. He's paranoid because he is strong in the area of believing that he has a responsibility to the world system. He has an image of what salvation looks like. That's, world looks at it, oh, I'm so weak. Bullshit. It just reveals the stand you're taking in the spirit. Now, whether or not, I mean, I'm not going to go pick, I'll pick him Rex enough anyway, so that he can be the point man tonight instead of Harry.
He deserves it.
Oh,
I think he's going back to Harry, somebody other than me.
Do you understand? Now, if that alliance is not, if that cart rope that you're dragging that bullshit with you into trying to into Zion isn't cut by the confession, you'll be flooded with depression and angst and anxiety, and you will cast off the Lord Jesus Christ as your only garment and put on the garment of sorrow. And the joy of the Lord can't be seen. Now it'll come along the littlest things. Images about what your children should be is where parents will get caught mostly. Do you understand? It's all or nothing. That's why the way is getting so narrow. What?
I was just thinking earlier, that the way seems to be getting narrow, and my flesh wants it to get wider. that's the way I keep thinking I'll find something that's going to make it a much broader interpretation of stuff. And yet it's ever a bit narrower and narrower.
Now, if you're taking notes, the only reason we wanted to go to Malachi was to show you that the altar was the table of the Lord. You don't want to say the table of the Lord is contemptible ever again. Now, this place that we're standing before right now, this mysterious altar, it's hard to conceive of this, but it's God's table. It's where God eats. Now, whatever is put upon the altar is the food of God. We're talking about the sin offering and the trespass offering and all that stuff that's burned outside the camp. Now we're talking about the ministering inside the temple. Now, great mystery takes place here at the altar. And you're transformed. Your mind, the ability of your mind to ever again think of God or people in utilitarian terms is destroyed. How can this person or that person benefit me? Or how can this person and that person hurt me? It's gone. How can God benefit me? Or how can God hurt me? It's gone. Guilt is impossible. That's why Jesus Christ said, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you." You can believe you chose him, or that you abode by strength of will all the way up to this point. At the altar, when there is no more consciousness of sin, there is no more consciousness of trespass, there is no more consciousness of the waters of jealousy, no more consciousness of touching the dead body, no more consciousness of leprosy. There's no more self-consciousness. How then, do you understand now the first requirement of Christ? If you're going to be his disciple, deny or abandon yourself, pick up your cross and follow him. He's talking about being at this point. Now, one point that I didn't cover in the introduction of the burnt offerings is that when Christ caused the oblation to cease in Daniel 9, when he was baptized, That was the type of the completion of the trespass offering, the sin offering, and all the waters. At the cross, and at his resurrection, it was the completion of the meal offering, the peace offering, and the burnt offering. I mean, I hope you guys understand. This is big time.
The body of sin and death is left on the other side of that line that the leper stepped across after he was cleansed.
Now, finally, we can begin to study and to understand what the baptism of fire is. Because on the altar, when everything is right, the fire of God comes from heaven and consumes the offering. Now, that's the baptism of fire. It's no longer the baptism of purging away of dross and silver and all that. I mean, the dross from the silver and the garbage and the stuff. That's gone. Now, the baptism of fire is the consuming. Our God is a consuming fire. Judy, the Spirit of God has come down by the fire of God and consumed Judy off the altar. Yeah. And Rex and Larry and Harry and all the airy guys.
Yeah. I'm producing a sweet
sound. What I thought about was the zeal of the Lord.
Has consumed me. That's baptism of fire and sitting around speaking in tongues. As you know, I've heard that preachment so often it used to make me throw up. Baptism of fire is being consumed as the food of God.
And that's what produces the savor.
And that's the sweet smelling savor.
Burning.
Now, here with Paul. Now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Who can be against us? Who can separate us? Nothing.
When you said that, I thought about that. When Christ met that woman at the well and told her, when the disciples came back to him and says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And, you know, then that lady went, she testified of all that he had told her and was able to, and she believed. Caused others to believe.
Now the word in the Hebrew that's translated burnt offering is olah. O-L-A-H. And it means, olah means that which ascends. Christ ascending. We are now seated with him. We have ascended. Therefore, by definition, we are always a sweet smelling savor. God found food and finds food in the unblemished sacrifice of Jesus. Now, here at last, the Father found his satisfaction.
Wow.
Now, this is what Paul was trying to talk about when he said that you are now a priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, but you can't hear them or bear them because you're dull of hearing. Now we're entering into the mysteries that have been forbidden to speak of. Forget all everything I just said. This night, by your Spirit, may restore his office to him totally and completely, without conferring with flesh and blood, no more fearing the faces of men. Spirit, Father, even though your Holy Spirit is already anointed. Anoint him in power and in love and in truth, that you will loose his tongue, that he shall be the language of God. Fear of Scripture, no more doubts about his abilities. Your power is now residing and resident in him, that many shall come to you because of curiosity concerning his resurrection. His office is restored totally and completely, fully able, and that you shall perform in him that which you have appointed him to do. We rest and shall all be amazed at that which shall be done through this your vessel. In Jesus' name, for his glory.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, now we can study Leviticus 21. Pretty neat stuff, huh, Larry?
Yep.
Celebrate. glass of wine.
All right, you go pour it for everybody.
I'm glad you
came. I figured you would. A glass of oil.
A glass of oil.
John can drink the glass of oil.
Wait a minute. We're not talking about this.
Mogan David.
The Mogan David?
I thought you drank leftovers.
Well, I did.
It's cough syrup.
No, don't use the Mogan David.
Yeah, really, that won't be a celebration.
It'll give you the try.
It'll be torture.
I remember the one
I'm
talking
about
the time
I drank Mogan David.
Yeah, it's like drinking Kool-Aid.
No, Kool-Aid's better.
Leviticus 21.
Kool-Aid doesn't leave you with a...
At Lee's house, you can drink Kool-Aid and wine for it. Even Rutledge is happy listening to him in their voice. He's going to have his finger made into a corkscrew.
Gosh, this isn't going to work. Let me talk a minute. Okay, anybody have any thoughts about either what we just did with Larry or need for it or?
Thanks, Greg.
What we talked about or the memo or anything while John is playing wine steward.
Was there anything leading up to this other than what we just saw or something?
Oh, it was two things. Judy said something to me outside, and then I started reading there about. The whole, all of chapter 21 is about the office of the priest. And so I couldn't do it until his anointing had been complete.
Complete?
Huh?
Restored or complete?
Restored.
Or above.
Either way.
Whatever.
All of the above.
I think I need to say something about my own... things that I've gone through about the teaching process, because I have really enjoyed it. It's neat to search out the stuff, and it's just neat to be teaching the whole thing. But I still have these, you know, back and forth kind of things of that pull me back because I'm a woman. And because I'm married, or, you know, the whole idea, you know, and on the one hand I say, well, there is no male or female and all those things. And on the other hand, I still feel like, you know,
God, he found the biggest glasses in there.
That's kind of neat.
That's a celebration.
I guess I want to know that I'm
diverse
free to be
messes.
Myself.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then
let
whatever
me,
happens.
Let me
happens.
Talk about that a minute.
I don't want to lean over on the biggest person.
Do you know this is diverse vessels, but all containing
no,
one?
No, this is real wine.
One
wine?
One wine. Diverse vessels.
I want a fat vessel.
You didn't get enough, John. I mean, who didn't get one? Wait a minute.
If you get enough, I would have had to know how many people were out here.
There's some
brown
cups.
And then match that up to the number of glasses.
Yeah.
It requires math.
It's numbers, yes. It's higher math.
Higher math.
Sir, I don't think I understood.
Well, it's there's a whole religiosity in the where she grew up about women teaching. The only time that you're a woman, hear me very carefully in this context, the only time you're a woman is when you're in conflict with Gary.
Okay.
Anytime you and Gary are one, you're as free as a bird. You're a new race that has neither male nor female. But the only time you are a woman is when you and Gary are in conflict. That's what I tried to tell in a roundabout way, you and Tom.
Yeah, it's like he has given me the freedom, but I've heard conflicting things that I've taken conflicting ways, and because of the way I was raised, and it was such a deal, you know, it's been something that just kind of recurs, even though all the things that happen belie it, it's still, you know, is there.
Well, can you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
Everybody understand and agree?
Do you feel?
Do you
have anything?
Well, I just wanted to see if you're sure. I feel great, but
okay.
We've come through all the little bullshit that gets you to the place to where there's no fighting during Bible study or agreement. If she's on a roll, I don't care. And if I want to butt in or if I want to take over or anything, I do. And,
that's perfect.
Yeah, and it's, we don't have any problem. And I totally appreciate her aggressiveness in teaching, because I'm not too aggressive. And a lot of times we'd sit there with each other if she wasn't hungry to teach, and so it's a balancing act.
Yeah, that's great. A toast to the restored office.
As soon as we get some more.
And empowered office.
Here.
Wait a minute.
We'll see what the real numbers are.
He's got enough. No, he poured enough There's wine for left. Three cups. That's why he got confused.
He's had about three cups out there while he was pouring. That's why he got confused. He kind of keeps sampling to make sure it was safe.
I'm wondering why no one's gotten suspicious that he wanted to write a nice letter to Bloom, because Bloom always letting him as much wine as he wanted.
Well, I mean, that's a given. That's a given.
Gary!
That was the only couple
of them.
Have a little wine.
For your stomach.
Let's do watermelon and wine again. We'll see.
Watermelon and wine.
This is the toast. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has kept you and guarded you and been your every move to allow you to reach this time. Now you are sanctified, body, soul, and spirit.
You have to drink a sip for Pam.
Moving hard.
You know, we're talking tonight about God consuming us.
Amen.
That's the way we're unified. This eating process.
If you walk,
He eats us. We become one with Him. It's
if you walk in the light as He is in the light,
bizarre.
Then are you one. One with another, then have you fellowship one with another. The only, I guarantee you, his light is consuming. You know, we've tried every way possible to have fellowship and friendship, et cetera, and love and all those things after the flesh. Take it, big guy.